Lord, we thank you once again. We can come before you, before your presence. Lord, we know, God, that apart from you, we cannot do anything. Apart from having a relationship with you, all our relationships will be nothing. Lord, we thank you that through this text that we read today, and through the series of messages of God that we will hear for the next few weeks, we ask of God that you make us understand the importance of our relationship with you. Lord, today, this morning, oh God, we ask of God that you give us wisdom and understanding regarding the root of relationship conflict. Lord, help us to understand, oh God, why things happen in our relationships with other people. And help us to understand, oh God, your goal, your purpose for creating the world. And most importantly, oh God, for our relationships with other people. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you. We just commit everything to you. And we believe, oh God, that through your word, it will give us understanding, it will give us wisdom on how we navigate our relationships with others. And Lord, we just give you back all the glory, and all the praise, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Well, John 17, verse 20 to 23, talks about Jesus' prayer for the church. Jesus' prayer for you and me. Well, for Jesus and the triune God, the most important thing is relationships. There's nothing more important than relationships. As far as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the most important thing to them is relationships. That's why, as we begin our series today, we're going to talk about not only our relationship with God, but our relationship, but also our relationship with others. Why? Because the kingdom of God is all about relationships. You know, we in America especially tend to compartmentalize things. In other words, we divide the world into secular and sacred. When we talk about the church or worship or prayer, we tend to think that those things are sacred. Of course, they are sacred. But when we talk about parties or anything or any activity outside the church, we tend to think that those things are secular. But I submit to you that there is something wrong with that kind of compartmentalization. Because as far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, the world is the kingdom. For Jesus, everything that he does, everything that he did, is for the kingdom. And he did not spend all the time in his early life in prayer and in the church or in the synagogue. In fact, most of his time was spent hanging out with people. And in many instances, we saw Jesus not only eating with sinners and tax collectors, he went to a wedding, to a feast, to a party, to a dinner. In other words, he thought that the world that we are living
in is the kingdom. And he developed relationships with people that he met every day of his life. In other words, no matter where Jesus was, or no matter where Jesus went, he was fully present as a walking, talking embodiment of the kingdom of God. Because to him, everything is about relationships. And that should not surprise us, because God is love, and love is all about relationships. And I believe that wherever there is a relationship being built and being forged, God is always there. Amen? That's why we need to learn how to get to the next level when it comes to our relationship with God and when it comes to our relationship with others. And today, I'm going to lay down to you the theological foundation for our next level relationship. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, what is God's purpose for creation? What is God's goal for relationships? Well, let's go back to John 17. And let's see what this prayer talks about as far as our relationship with Him and as far as our relationship with one another. Let me read from verse 21. It says that all of them, talking about His disciples, talking about you who will become disciples later, that all of them may be one, Father, just us. Remember, take note of the word just us. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them. Take note of the word and the next word. Even as you have loved me. What is God's goal for relationships? There are actually two things that I want you to remember and get from this prayer. And just like what I said, this has something to do with what Jesus said, even us or just us. First, Jesus prayed that the perfect love of the triune God may be replicated in us. That is the prayer of Jesus. Jesus said that you may be one, even as we are one. He was praying that the perfect love of the triune God may be replicated in us. He said that you, Father, have loved them, even as you love me. The same love that you have for me is given to them. You know, if we really think about it, this is mind-boggling. Because what it means is that when God loves you, or when God loved you, He loved you not with a secondary love, not with a derivative love, not with a watered-down love. He loved you with the same love that He has among themselves. In the same way that He loved Himself, that He loved the triune God, He loved you the same way. In other words, God loves you with the same love for Himself, and God's whole being is towards you. What He means by that is that the love that unites God is united with you just as you unite with Him. So remember God's purpose for relationships, or God's purpose for creating the world. God's purpose is that God's love may be replicated toward us. This is God's goal for creation. And then secondly, Jesus prays, may they be one, even as we are one. Jesus is praying here that the perfect love of the triune God may be replicated not just in the way He relate to us, but also in the way He relate, in the way we relate to one another. Let's look at this next drawing. You know, we can think of this way. God is a perfect love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God is a perfect relationship. Perfect love relationship. So God's goal for creation is that we may have this perfect relationship replicated toward us, not only in the way we relate to God, but also in the way we relate to one another. Okay, next slide. Now, the same love, as we can see from the drawing of the triangle, the same love that He has is now directed towards us. We call that the vertical representation of God. And then next slide. Then as a result of that vertical replication of God's love, we now have a horizontal replication of His love. What I mean by that is because of His love poured out into us, we overflow with that love with one another. So remember, God's goal for creation is that the whole creation, everything and everyone in creation is sort of like a prism. Sort of like a prism that reflects the perfect love of God. And God's goal for creation is that the whole world will mirror God's love. You know, remember, Jesus said that I have shown them the glory that you have given me. You know, the glory of God actually is the reflection of God's love. And the goal of the whole creation is that we may shine the love of God not only to one another, but to the whole world. But sad to say, the world is not quite like that. It doesn't seem like our horizontal relationships are always consistently a manifestation of God's perfect love. Do you agree? In fact, the reality is the world that we are living in has a lot of opposite things going on. I mean, if you turn your TV, there's such nastiness going on. And people are so mean today, and there's so much nastiness going on today, and we can say that we lack the basic decency to accept one another's opinion. You know, sometimes instead of saying, I don't agree with your opinion, there is name calling. Amen. Instead of saying, I may not agree with your opinion, but sometimes because we don't agree with one another, we turn to such meanness. There's so much meanness in the atmosphere these days, and when you turn on your TV or when you look at the social media, especially Twitter, people are being mean. My point is, even though God wanted us to love one another as He loves us, even though God wanted us to experience His love and that love to be replicated in our relationship with one another, we don't reflect the perfect love of God. In other words, our relationship, our horizontal relationship, are broken. And the question is why? Why is our horizontal relationship broken? In other words, what is wrong with the world? Why is this world so messed up? And many people are asking that question all the time. And the inclination of fallen people is to pin the blame on somebody else. And some people will say, well, I know what's going on, but I know what's wrong with the world. Oh, it's the nasty republic. Oh, people would say, oh no, it's not. It's the Democrats. Oh, I don't think it's not. That's a problem. It's the immigrants. No, it's the criminals. It's the terrorists. You know, the right question should be not what is wrong with other people, what is wrong with me. The right question should be, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with us? How are we contributing to the brokenness of the world? The reality is, our horizontal love depends on our vertical love. The health of our horizontal relationship with God will never outrun the health of our horizontal relationship will never outrun the health of our vertical relationship with God. You know, we can try to grunt this out on our own. We can try to do whatever we can do, but only God can help us love other people. There's a saying, we can only give what we have received. And because we have not been receiving from God, we don't have a vertical relationship with God. Even though we try to do everything to have a perfect relationship, without a vertical relationship with God, we can never have a healthy horizontal relationship with others. And why is this the case? Next, why is this the case? If you look at the core issue of every human heart, every human being is created with a God-shaped hole. And what is the God-shaped hole? The God-shaped hole is a vacuum that only God can fill. That's why we say it's God-shaped. And we have that desperate need to receive that vertical love that God wants to pour out into us. You know, God created us with that need inside each and every one of us, a kind of addiction, a kind of need for satisfaction. That if you don't have it, you will try to find it through your relationship with others or through things that the world offers. And we have that God-shaped hole in our hearts that does not go away. It is a fundamental driving force in every human life, and most people are even aware of it. And we experience that as a longing to have something for, to have some worth, to be secure, to be valued, to be to be needed. All of us need that. And we try to meet that need through relationships. But sometimes, even though we try our best to meet our needs through our relationship, we don't get those things met. Because we haven't had a healthy vertical relationship with God. You know, let's go to the next. You know, if that God-shaped hole is being filled by God, pouring His love into it, we can only overflow if we are filled with that love and that life that God would like to give you. And what do we need? It's like what I said, every one of us needs a significance. We need to be needed. We need to be worthy. We need to be secure. And if those needs are being met by our vertical relationship with God, it will all only overflow to other people. But we cannot overflow with love and life without a vertical relationship with God. So what do we do? How do we have a healthy vertical relationship with God? I believe it requires that we trust God. It requires that we be open and surrendered to God. You know, sometimes we think, you know, we can just, you know, have a relationship with God without having a commitment with God. You know, relationship with God requires that we trust God and that we open our hearts, we open our lives, and we surrender our lives to Him. The thing is, sometimes we don't let Him do what He needs to do in our lives. In other words, we put a lid to our hearts when we are not surrendered and when we are not trusting Him. You know what happens when we do that? The minute we close our heart to God, the minute we don't trust Him anymore, the minute we are not surrendered to God, you know what happens to us? We become like a vacuum. We become like a suction. We start to feel that our life is insignificant, and we become like black holes, and we try to fill that vacuum by what we can do and by what we can get. And this is what happens. Next slide. The whole world becomes the stage for idol. You know what an idol is? It doesn't have to be an image. An idol is anything in your life that only God is supposed to. And the Bible says there shall be no other gods before me. So instead of overflowing, instead of being a blessing to other people, instead of overflowing with love and life to other people, we begin to become vacuums. And that affects all our relationships. And because our life is empty, we try to suck out life out of a relationship. And so what happens is we feed on relationships. Okay, so next slide. Instead of God's design, okay, God's design is on the left side. Instead of God's design of a relationship that overflows, because of our vertical relationship with Him, instead we have this inflow. So what we do is we don't allow the overflow of God's love towards us. And the result is we have, instead of overflow, we have an inflow. And what happens is we begin to have a conditional kind of relationship with one another. And maybe all of you, especially, you know, Valentine is coming up. And most people will say, I love you because. And sometimes they will say, I love you because you are pleasant to look at. Or I love you because you do this for me, you cook for me. Or you do this for me. Or I love you because you laugh at my jokes. Or I love you because our needs are met. But the fact of the matter is, even though our needs are met, our core need, our need for worth, significance, and security are not really met. That's why our fallen world is broken. Because when your love for this person disappears, your relationship goes away. If I'm loving you because you're pleasant to look at, when you get to maybe 60 or 70 years old, when it seems that you are no longer good to look at, I'm not saying the 60-year-old. I know we have a lot of 65 years old here. My point is, if the condition for which you love this other person disappears, the relationship goes away. If I'm loving you because you are pleasant to look at, when that good looks is gone, when your hair is gone, the relationship is gone. That's why there are so many broken hearts in this fallen world. And that is also why Jesus' instruction to love our enemies makes no sense. Why in the world would you love someone who doesn't at all benefit you anymore? It just doesn't make sense. But you can love your enemies if you are getting your core need met by God. Remember, all our horizontal relationship require that our vertical relationship with God is solid. This emptiness that we have inside each and every one of us is the source of all conflict in this world. And do you want to know why? Why we have this emptiness inside each and every one of us? The reason for that is the next point. God is not the source and the center of our lives. You know, when God is not the source and not the center, we begin to become the center of our lives. That's when we begin to be self-centered instead of God-centered. God's design, God's design is for him not only to be the source, but also to be the center. You know, God has this infinite reservoir of love and light that overflows towards us if we are in the center of God's will. If we are in the center of our relationship with God, we get filled and overflow toward others. And this is what God designs for every relationship. You know what happens if this is the kind of relationship we have with one another? There will be no conflict. Because there is no competition. Because we have the same center. And that center that we have is limitless. Amen? So what happens when we are not trusting God and not surrendering to God is that we become our own center and we become like black holes. We become like suction devices. We become like vacuums, trying to look to the world for our needs, and the world becomes a stage for idols.
Next slide. The thing is, we try to fill that hole, that black hole that we have, with all kinds of things. We try to fill that hole that we have inside of us with fame, with wealth, with achievements, with status, with being right, with ethnicity, with possessions, with good looks, with fame, and so on and so forth. The thing is, when you put two people in the same room with two black holes, next slide. This is what happens. There will be a competition between the two because both of them are looking for achievement, for fame, for wealth, for ethnicity, for being right, for good looks. There will be a conflict. That's why there's so much conflict in the world, because we try to edge out one another. We try to get the same thing because we try to fill that hole, that black hole, inside each and every one of us. And you remember that happened to our first parents, Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, next slide, God said to Eve, He said, "Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." You know what desire actually means in Hebrew? The word for desire in Hebrew has a connotation that means to desire, to manipulate, or to try to control. While the word rule in Hebrew has a connotation of to lord over, or to subdue, or to conquer. As you can see, this is what happened, but that's what's happening in marriages. You know, the Bible says the woman will try to manipulate, will try to control, while the man will try to subdue and to conquer and to lord over the woman. And that is not the plan of God for marriage. God's plan for marriage is that both of them may be filled with God's love and God's light, so that they will overflow with one another. Amen? And that overflowing towards each other will look like mutual respect, mutual support, mutual submission, mutual service, and mutual affirmation. And then your marriage becomes a reflection of the love of God. Amen? And your marriage becomes heaven on earth instead of hell. That is God's plan for marriage. But when you see manipulation and control and domination, you see a needy person who is trying to build some hole in their soul. Because our world is a broken world. Whenever our vertical relationship is broken, our horizontal relationship is broken. If you are trying to fix your horizontal relationship without God, you will never, never be able to fix your horizontal relationship without fixing your vertical relationship first. My friends, my brothers and sisters, that's the reason why we need to invest in our vertical relationship first. Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well." Your most important relationship is in the vertical relationship with God. The best thing that you can do is to spend time with God. Drink from that infinite well. It's the best thing you can do for your relationships. It's the best thing you can do for yourself. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have poured out your love and your life unto us, so that we can pour out, overflow in our relationship, in our love and life towards one another. in the most important relationship of all, which is our relationship with you.
Lord, help us to drink from that infinite well, that well that never goes out. And Lord, this morning, O God, as we prepare for our communion, Lord, help us to even understand what it means to come together in a communion, because communion is a remembrance. It's a remembrance of your covenant with us. And Lord, tonight, this morning, O God, as we remember your death and your resurrection, as we remember that you gave yourself to us, Lord, may we renew our covenant with you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. We thank you for this wonderful time that you have given us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.